www.portico.com.
Very warm welcome here to Portico. It is a pleasure to have you here this morning, and I just love that we can gather together here in God's name and give Him the praise and worship that He deserves. Last week, we wrapped up our Over-Under series that we had been going through for the past couple of weeks. Just to very quickly summarize that, we talked through a number of things throughout that series, a lot of it dealing with our experience with God. And one of the things that we talked about was that if we have an underwhelming experience with God, it may well be due to one or more of the following: your vision of God, your humility before God, your connection with God, or your calling from God. And if your perspective on any of those four is not correct, then you're missing out on a key aspect of the relationship that God desires for you, and you need to start taking steps to shore that area up. And I promise you, if you do, your experience with God will drastically change for the better. And if you missed any one of those messages, I really want to encourage you to go onto our website and check out our podcast and go back and listen to one or more anything that you missed, okay? This week, we find ourselves in between series. So as Rachel talked about, we're going to be talking next Sunday. We're going to officially jump into our look through the book of James. So this week then is going to be a little bit different than our normal message, like she had said. So I'm going to take some time this morning and I'm going to set up that next series by providing some background on the book of James. Who wrote it? When it was written? Who it was written to? The main themes of the book and some of the interpretive challenges that we need to be aware of as we go through it. We don't always get a chance to do that when we begin a series, and this in-between week provides a really great opportunity to do so. And I want to take advantage of it because I figure if we're going to invest a few months going through that book, and it takes a lot of our time to do that, then we ought to make sure we know a bit about it. So that's what we're going to do. After I give a brief background of the book, then we're going to read it, like Rachel said. We're going to read the whole book of James. That's right, front to back. Bum, bum, bum. Nice. Now, before everyone starts panicking and heading for the door, say, I didn't sign up for that, guys. Let me just provide some clarification. First of all, my message isn't going to be that long because it doesn't really take that long to do what I had said. Second, the book of James isn't that long either. It's actually kind of in the bottom third when it comes to books of the Bible and their length. So it won't take that long to read it. And then also we're going to break it into sections mixed with worship, so something a little bit different. We're going to read some, and we're going to worship, and we're going to read, and we're going to worship. And I think, quite honestly, you'll be surprised at how quickly the morning does flow. My hope, though, is that between getting a glimpse of what this book is about, because it is really good, listening as it's read out loud and just collectively lifting up our voices in worship throughout will just be something powerful for everyone. That's my hope. So you guys with me? Yeah? Thank you. All right, good. Now, yeah, so now you'll notice the message notes that you've got today just have a big blank section, right? And that's okay. The intent today is just to give you a spot to write down your thoughts as they come to you. If you hear something that speaks to you and you want to write it down, if there's something you didn't quite understand and you want to make a note to go back to it or maybe even ask me after worship today, or if you hear a certain passage that I cross-reference that you want to go back to later, that's what it's for, okay? So the book of James. Now, quiz time. Can anyone guess who wrote this book? Come on. I teed it up for you. Moses. Yeah, that's right. That's right. James wrote this book. And we call it a book, but it's really a letter. It was a letter written by some dude named Jimmy. No, it wasn't. There's nobody named Jimmy in the Bible. But there is a bunch of James. And so that's one of the first things that we need to do. There are four men named James in the New Testament. There's James the Less, he's called. He was one of Jesus' 12 apostles. So at first glance, he looks like that could be a likely candidate for being the author. But thing is, he's only mentioned in two verses in the entire Bible. That's Matthew 10:3 and Acts 1:13. And only in the context of being one of the 12 apostles. And since there's nothing of any significance that's attributed to him, either in the Bible or in historical writings outside the Bible, most scholars agree James the Less, probably not the author of this book. Then there's James, the father of Judas, one of the apostles. Not to be confused with Judas Iscariot, one of the apostles. Right? There's a couple of James, there's a couple of Judases. However, just like James the Less, he's only mentioned in two verses as well, Luke 6:16 and Acts 1:3. And again, only in the context of being Judas's father, nothing else. And as such, most scholars would agree that this James is also not the author of this letter either. The third James mentioned, right, one of the 12 apostles, you've guessed it, he's noted as the son of Zebedee and the brother of John. And there are some historians who have suggested that this James may in fact be the one. But the thing is, in Acts chapter 12, verse 2, it says that James was martyred by King Herod, and he was the first of the 12 apostles to be martyred, and the timing of that martyrdom was prior to when this letter was written, so we're pretty sure it's not that James either. So, we got one James left, one Jimmy, okay, and that James is a half-brother of Jesus. I say half-brother because while James and Jesus shared the same mother, Mary, they did not have the same father, and now scandal, right? The Bible tells us that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus himself said that his father was God, whereas James, his half-brother, would have had Joseph, who was Mary's husband, as his father. And that's why this James and a few other people who are mentioned as Jesus' brothers are his half-brothers. And in that, it brings us to one of the main interpretive challenges of this book, and that's why I decided to cover the authorship of James right off the bat and spend the most time on it, because there are a number of religions in the world that teach that Mary remained a virgin throughout her life, and that because of that, this James could not be related to Jesus, right? That could not be his half-brother. But the thing is, it doesn't actually state anywhere in the Bible that Mary remained a virgin through her life. In fact, if you look in the Gospels of Mark and Matthew and several New Testament letters such as Galatians and 1 Corinthians, you'll see that Jesus' brothers and sisters are mentioned a number of times. So if in fact Mary did remain a virgin, the rest of those passages present a bit of a conundrum. Another thing to consider on this is that in this culture at this time, people tended to have a lot of children. And that doesn't mean that Mary was obligated to as well. It just means that if she did remain a virgin, that would not have been a cultural norm. So if this James was indeed Jesus' half-brother, another reason why he is likely the candidate for authorship of this letter, aside from what I covered before, is the fact that the Bible tells us that he initially rejected Jesus as Messiah. Okay, a handful of passages cover that. John chapter 7, verse 5, and Mark chapter 3, 21. And you might say, well, all right, how does that prove that he's the author? But as it turns out, not only did this James come to believe in who Jesus really was, but he became one of Jesus' biggest advocates by becoming the key leader of the church in Jerusalem after Jesus ascended into heaven. And you can explore that further in the book of Acts in a number of places, Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 15, and Acts chapter 21. Now this James also experienced the resurrected Christ, and that's described in 1 Corinthians 15:7. So I say all of that because now here you've got someone who knew Jesus intimately, right? Initially thought he was out of his gourd for a while, but then eventually came to see the light, and then spent the rest of his life trying to make sure that everyone else around him knew who Jesus was. So of the four James that are referenced in the New Testament that could have written this letter, this James is the only one that really makes sense. So this letter, as we'll soon see, it's a letter that James wrote. It's about Jesus and a call to live a life that was worthy of him. It's written by someone who is speaking with authority, right? Someone who speaks with the bold confidence that comes with knowing who Jesus was and what his ministry was all about. This James, he's our guy because he knew Jesus personally. And because of that, I really want to tee this up here. Because of that, it would really do us well to hear what he has to say in this letter. That's why it's so important. Now, from a timing point of view, there's not a whole lot to say on it. Most historians put this letter between the years 44 and 49 AD. And as we'll soon see, James starts the letter off by addressing believers that are dispersed abroad. In Acts chapter 12, we can read about the unrest that started when King Herod began persecuting and killing new Christians, which would have caused many of them to flee the lands around Jerusalem. This particular Herod, he was named Herod Agrippa I. He ruled from 37 to 44 AD. So the letter was most likely written sometime after that. On the opposite end, in Acts chapter 15, we read about something called the Council of Jerusalem. And that was held about AD 50. And since the book of James makes no mention of that council at all, and since James was the key leader of that church in Jerusalem who put on that council, it stands to reason that the letter was written before that. So that's where we come up with that time frame of somewhere between 44 and 49 AD. It, by the way, makes it the earliest New Testament letter that was written out of all the New Testament, only about 15 years after Christ ascended into heaven. The letter was written to fellow Jews who were also believers. The opening line of the letter says that to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. The 12 tribes was a common way of referring to the 12 tribes of Israel or the Jewish people. And we know it would be Jewish converts to Christianity because it says they were dispersed abroad. Again, referencing those who were displaced due to the violence against them from King Herod. King Herod was persecuting the Christians, not the other Jews. And this letter was written out of concern for those believers. They were no longer there in Jerusalem to be cared for by that church, to be shepherded by that church, to be ministered to by that church. Many of these new Christians did establish other small churches all around after they fled. And James wanted to send them a letter of encouragement, of instruction, of admonishment, because they weren't doing everything right, and to send a passionate plea to them for godly living. This letter, the book of James, really is more of a how-to book on Christian living rather than some sort of discourse on complex theology. And with that being said, while the letter starts off by outlining some general characteristics of the Christian life, it does then focus on the relationship between faith and works. And that probably presents the biggest interpretive challenge that the reader's going to have to wrestle with when we go through it. Okay? We're not there, and I'm not going to go into those details right now. That's what this whole series is about, is getting into all of these details. Okay? But just keep that in mind as we move forward over the next few weeks. Ultimately, this book, or this letter, is a great reminder of how the Christian is supposed to live out his or her life. And as we work through this book, I'm going to tell you right now it's going to be challenging. You will be challenged. But I don't want that to scare anybody off because, like so many things in life, overcoming challenges is how we grow. And I'm telling you again, this challenge will be worth it. So I'm hoping you guys will stay all the way through, okay? So that's what I've got for a tee-up of this book. This is what we're going to cover over the next few weeks. And right now, I want to call up the readers who are going to read through this. And just listen and write some notes. We'll do some worship and just enjoy, okay? Let's read that first part.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.